it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Last night, Kevin Gausman got back in the win column, as were the Orioles. Kevin Gausman has won six of his last seven decisions, so he's becoming the pitcher they thought he would become this year. Buck Showalter, right after this.
Rocco Botko here with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report, but Kevin Gausman, his fifth quality start in his last six games, a 1.80 ERA in that period. How big a key has it just been with him, with his fastball, being able to elevate it, lower it, change some speeds with it? Has that been as big a key as anything else that he's done?
Well, it always starts with fastball command, but once you can command that, it opens up all his secondary pitches. They don't have to be perfect. You know, you don't have to – when guys have to cheat to not only pitch velocity but to pitch location, and now you're committing to the inner half or you're committing to the outer half, and it, you know, and you've got a good catcher that gets a feel for what guys are trying to do from a bat to bat, it really plays for him. You know, I thought Kevin won the game in the bottom of the first inning last night, and I told him that when I took him out, that – and it's a great lesson for you. You know, he bowed his neck there, second, third, nobody out against the heart of their order, and got us back in the dugout.
Chris Davis, six hits, five RBIs in his last three games. Is there any correlation between those numbers and him batting seventh, or is that just coincidence?
Well, once again, Rock, everybody wants to talk about batting orders and all that other stuff. I know it's, I guess a subject that people like to talk about. It's just – you can make it if you like. Everybody wants to know reasons. Sometimes guys just finally revert to their track record. You know, does it take some pressure off of them? I don't know. Does it put more pressure on somebody to move up? I mean, there's always point counterpoint to everything. I think sometimes we can get too over analytic about it. And I know some of the things that Scott and he both know that he has to do, he's been able to put into play.
You talk about reverting to track record. Manny Machado, a second Grand Slam in a week. When his average was hovering around the low 200s in the first half, did you figure eventually this was going to turn around and he was going to be able to heat up like he is right now?
Well, that's what I told everybody at the time. They just got too much talent. But sometimes guys just have that year all year. You know, look at, I think, was it Harper last year? Sometimes it's just hard to dig out of that. And not that Bryce didn't, but Manny's just too talented. You know, once he got through the frustration and quit trying to get it back in 1 week or one at bat and just grinded it out, it's been fun to watch.
Rocco Botko back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report. Buck, seeing Nelson Cruz here, and he had another home run last night in the ninth inning. You know, Jonathan Scope credited Nelson quite a bit for his turnaround or his progression. You know, Nelson was kind of a mentor to him as well as a good friend. Was that one of the keys of, and one of the important things of having Nelson around for that one season, besides obviously the run production, is his influence on a young guy like a Jonathan Scope?
Well, that's one of the many things that just, you know, analytics doesn't pick up. You know, it's why that there has to be a combination of what people see and feel and know down in a clubhouse and the things that it does for young players. You know, I'll tell you an interesting story yesterday. I know they love to see Nelson, and they talked to him, and Nelson wanted nothing of it. He said, "Okay, John, you're having a pretty good year. What are you going to do to finish it off? Are you, you know, resting on it? You know, it's middle of August. Are you doing your work in the weight room? Are you getting your sleep at night? Are you going to finish off this good season or just have it to be an above average season?" Those are the type of things that guys like Nelson Cruz do that, you know, how do you evaluate that?
Lefty Andrew Albers on the mound tonight for Seattle. Looking at his AAA numbers at Gwinnett, only 19 walks and 120 and two-third innings. Is this maybe a case of a guy kind of figuring it out in his early 30s, maybe being a late bloomer? I mean, what's the word on him?
Well, I don't think, you know, he's the type of guy that can give you a lot of trouble because his velocity will play up. You're going to see 86 to maybe 90, but you're going to see a quick arm, good changeup, cutter, curveball, a guy that can really ambush you, and especially when there's so much unknown about him. But, you know, we've done a lot of work on him. I think our players certainly are going to be prepared for what he's going to try to do, but it's a different look. You know, it's a guy that's played in Korea. It's a guy that refuses to give in. He's a very competitive guy that holds runners, fills his position, and he can present some real problems for you.
And finally, congratulations are in order. Your induction tonight to the New York Penn League Hall of Fame. Unfortunately, you're not able to be there, but it's happening tonight. Do a lot of memories come flooding back for you on a night like this, thinking back to those days?
You know, I didn't even know about it until someone told me here last day or so. No one's really contacted me about it, so it's cool. And I really You know, I had some great times there. We had some really good teams the 2 years I was there, and I was treated unbelievably at a young age. I think I was 27, 28, somewhere 29, I'm not sure. You know, the ownership, the Nader family and the city of Oneonta, and, you know, life was special there. They reached out to my wife and I and really made it a really fun summer. That's when I really got a feel that I might want to do this for a while. And, you know, it was a great time in my life.
Any, like, one lesson maybe jump out at you that you learned early on of what you needed to do to be a successful manager?
Work with the players. I remember turning in report. We used to turn in mid-season reports with a half-season club and with the other 15 teams in that league. So you didn't dare miss infield when another team was taking it, because that might be the only chance you got, and you better turn in the reports. But I remember with some young players that were real raw, I just talked about what all they couldn't do in a report at midseason. And farm director Bill Livesey called me on the watch line. Remember the watch line? And I got no hello, no goodbye, just what are you there for? I said, hello? And he said, no, what are you there for? I mean, we know he can't hit the curveball. We know he has trouble. I said, can he run? Yeah. Can he throw? Yeah. But, you know, he said, well, why don't you teach him how to hit the curveball? Why don't you teach him how to take a lead? Why don't you teach him how to do all the things that you're telling me he can't do? He was in the 29th round out of Grambling. So we have a lot of confidence in you that you might be able to. So give the scouts the confidence to draft a flawed player that the player development people can work on the weaknesses. That's what I learned there.
Thank you, Buck. Let's take it back upstairs to Joe Angel.
All right, Rock. Thank you, Rock Abatko, and the Hall of Famer, Buck Showalter. In a moment, Jim Hunter will be Tim Beckham's guest. That's how it's going these days for Beckham on the Orioles radio network.
At Safeco Field in Seattle, game two of this three-game series as the Orioles wind down this 10-game road trip. We'll visit with the scorching hot Tim Beckham after this on the Orioles radio network.
Another beautiful day for baseball in Seattle. Orioles and Mariners, middle game of the three-game series. Birds with a big win last night and visiting with Tim Beckham, who has settled in very nicely as an Oriole. Now, you are on quite a tear. In your career, can you recall ever feeling at the plate right now this good?
Not in a while, man. Definitely not at a big league level. Hadn't had a chance to get this many ABs up under my belt in one season, so I'm feeling good right now, man, and I just don't want to overthink anything. And baseball is a crazy game, you know, and just want to stay humble, man, and continue to see the ball well and continue to help your team win some win ball games.
Does that make a difference for you, knowing when you get to the ballpark every day you are going to be in the lineup and get those four at bats?
It's definitely a good feeling. It's definitely a good feeling when you know you're going to be in there and you don't have to look over your shoulder when you're 0-2 to see if you're getting pitch hit for. So it's definitely a good feeling to know that the team has confidence in you and the manager has confidence in you.
I've been so impressed with the way you've been using the entire field, which makes you less predictable as a hitter to me. 29 hits with the Orioles, 10 of them the right field. Have you always been an opposite field hitter first, or are you just adapting to what they're throwing?
Yeah, opposite field was kind of my bread and butter coming up, coming out of high school, coming up in the minor leagues, and working with some guys, and they wanted me to pull the ball, because they didn't think I would hit for power numbers. But getting back into my bread and butter over the past 2 or 3 years of shooting balls to right center and just hitting the pitch where it's pitched. I don't want to sit here and tell you my approach over the radio, but yeah, I like going the other way, and I actually like pulling the ball as well. But I don't like to think pull and start pulling off of the pitches away that I know I can drive and do damage with. So just want to stay within myself, man, and just see the ball and try to get base hits.
What's interesting about that is if you have success like you've had going the opposite way, that tends to lead to getting more pitches to pull, because the pitchers are thinking out there, well, wait a minute, if I pitch it out here, he's just going to slap it the other way. I got to try something new or different, and that gives you the chance to pull the ball.
Yeah, for sure. I just want to hit the pitch where it's pitched. I'm still throwing it away, and I can get extended on it. I mean, I'm looking for a good pitch to drive, and they come in eventually. They beat me in eventually. I might look in, but I don't want to keep looking in and swinging pitches in off the plate. So just want to keep putting together good at-bats, man, consistent ABs and quality ABs, and get on base, man. We got a lot of great hitters on our team, man, a lot of people that can hit the ball out of the ballpark and shoot the ball all around the field. So being at leadoff or anytime I'm in the lineup, wherever I'm at in the lineup, I just want to try to get on base and let the boys clean up.
Yeah, they certainly have been doing that, especially lately. When you first joined the team on August 1st, you were batting sixth in the lineup. Now tonight you'll be in the leadoff spot for a sixth consecutive game. Do you like being the spark at the top?
I do. I do like being the spark at the top. I feel like I can definitely get on base and put together quality ABs for, like I said, to set my teammates up for RBIs. And as long as I'm on base and they're seeing pitches that hit, then it's going to be a good day, you know. And we're driving in runs, so it'll be a fun day at the park. So I just want to make it a point to have quality at-bats and see pitches I can drive and don't chase too many pitches out of the zone.
This is the first time in your career you've been traded, and it happened to come in the middle of the season at the trade deadline. What has the experience been like for you? In particular, if you look at it from the Orioles standpoint, they felt you could help them.
Yeah, man, for sure. Like, it's a blessing to be over here. It's a blessing to be over here playing for Buck Showalter and playing alongside Machado, Scopey, Chris Davis, Adam Jones in center. So, like I said, man, it's a lot of good players on this team, and to be batting leadoff and playing short, it's definitely a pivotal role, and it's something I want to embrace, and it's something I want to have success with. If I'm succeeding at the top of the lineup, I feel like we'll be winning a lot of ball games.
Well, you played 14 games. You have multi-hit games in 10 of them, so you're obviously succeeding. And Buck made the comment after one of the games in Oakland that it just looks like you like hitting outside after all those years in the dome. Is there something about fresh air that agrees with you?
I don't know, man. I mean, I'm keeping the same approach, and I just want to continue to see the ball deep, man, and give myself a chance. So I don't really like to think too much in if it's in the dome or if it's outside, because, I mean, I want to perform at any dome or any stadium it is. I mean, I want to perform well. So the fact that it's outside, we've been outside since I've been here. It's a beautiful feeling, man. I mean, the game of baseball, I feel like growing up, I've always played outside, obviously, and just feels more, not more realistic, but just has that baseball feel, that baseball smell in the air, you know, and it's a beautiful feeling.
So keep it simple, right? Yeah, see the ball, hit the ball.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Keep it simple. See the ball, hit the ball.
Well, he has certainly been doing that, Tim Beckham. In 14 games with the Orioles, he has hits in 13 of the 14, and in 10 of those, they are multi-hit games. It is a gorgeous night in Seattle. Stay tuned now for Orioles baseball.
Hi, good morning, and hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel with Jim Hunter back in Seattle. And, tonight we've got some bad news in the loss column here. So they split the first two games. Now, the good news tonight was that the Orioles had a 1-0 lead early. They had a run on three hits in the opening frame. And then they got two more hits in the second inning. And then Manny Machado with a bloop double, their sixth hit in the ballgame, and it came in the third inning. Now, the bad news is that was the last Orioles hit because the game ended with 20 consecutive Oriole outs. And Seattle wins it by a score of 3-1. Yeah, the good news, first inning, after Beckham led the game off with a single, Manny Machado bounced into a double play. And so with the bases empty, Jonathan Scope came up to swing a bat. And the pitch, and Scope hits a fly ball. Hit the deep left field. Way back there. Wait that baby. Bye-bye. In the bullpen in left center. My goodness. Scope hits a racket. His 26th of the season. And it's a 1-0 Oriole lead. So there you go. 1-0 just like that. They got three hits in that opening frame, but just the one run. And then came the second inning, a leadoff single by Trumbo. With one out, a single by Castillo. But then Rickard lined out, and then Beckham flied out, and that was that. In the third inning, Manny Machado a bloop double to get the inning started. And then Scope got a base on balls. So at that point, things were looking good. Manny Machado would eventually go to third base on a wild pitch. So they had first and third with nobody out, and that's when Adam Jones came up to hit.
1-2 to Jones, swinging a line drive to center field, and making the catch is Dyson. Manny's tagging. Here comes the throw, the slide. He is out at the plate. And Dyson gets another one. his 11th assist, most in the American League, and he cuts down the run at the plate. And took the perfect throw, and Dyson uncorked the perfect throw.
So that was it for that. Now, Wade Miley got up to a decent start tonight. He gave up a single in the first, but there was no damage done. He issued a leadoff walk in the second inning, but again, there was no damage done. And he got the Mariners 1-2-3 in the third. Then with a 1-0 lead came the fourth inning when Heredia led the inning off with a double. After a ground out, that's when our old friend Nelson Cruz came up to hit.
Miley from the stretch. He deals, breaking ball, swinging the ground ball. Base hit left field for Nelson Cruz, and we are tied. Another hanger. It's two hanging breaking balls this inning. Heredia doubled on his, and Cruz with a single here to tie the game. So it's 1-1 in the fourth.
Yep, after that, Wade Miley actually did a pretty good job limiting the damage. Just the one run, because in that inning, he had to face six batters and wound up throwing 27 pitches. And then came the fateful bottom of the fifth inning. Espinoza, a leadoff double. Then Dyson came up to hit. He hit a tapper back to Wade Miley, who went over to field the ball on the third base side. He looked at third base. He took his eye off the ball and dropped the ball. Everybody was safe, runners on first and third. And then Segura came up to hit. And Segura, ground ball toward third, base hit left field. That ball right through the hole. So Espinoza, he comes in to score as Mancini gets it back into third base. Stopping at second base is Dyson. So Segura has put the Mariners ahead in the fifth inning. It is now 2-1 Seattle. And as it turned out, the Mariners had gone ahead for good, the way things turned out. Later in the fifth inning, Cano came up to hit. And even though he did not get a base hit, he drove in a run. You know, Miley, he delivers. And Cano is the one hopper to Davis. He's going to go to second. Out. Oh, the collision at second base. They get the lead runner, but the run scores. Just as Beckham went to make a relay, that's when Heredia kind of barreled into him to break up that double play. And the run scores to make it 3-1 Seattle. And that was that, 3-1, that was the final score, because Orioles offensively, they disappeared after the third inning. They went 1-2-3 in the fourth, 1-2-3 in the fifth, 1-2-3, well, you get the idea. The game ended with 20 consecutive outs, for example, in the seventh inning.
0-2 on Castillo. Pagan deals, swing and a miss, he got him, there's that slider again. And back-to-back three-up, three-down innings by Emilio Pagan. He struck out four of the six batters that he faced. 14 in a row retired by Seattle pitching.
Yeah, and then Zabchinski came in, faced one batter, got him. And then Vincent came in, he faced two batters. And the pitch to Manny is driven out towards center. Coming on Dyson, he will get there and makes the catch on the run. Made that catch about chest high. So, again, the Orioles go quickly. They go 1-2-3. And now 17 consecutive Orioles have been retired. Right now they're going down quietly. Yeah. And in the ninth inning, much of the same. So now Trey Mancini and the Orioles are down to the last strike. And Mancini right back in the box. Edwin Diaz trying to end the game. Mancini cocks the bat. And the 1-2 pitch. Check swing. Did it go? Yep, he went. Strike came out. Ball game over. And the Orioles here tonight are in the loss column in Seattle. So tonight they're going to lose a little sleep in Seattle. They split the first two games. The rubber game coming up on Wednesday afternoon. And the Orioles these days just looking for a little consistency. Well, maybe they can find it in the road finale on Wednesday in Seattle. We'll just have to wait to see. Jim Hunter will continue our post-game extravaganza in the early morning hours on the Orioles Radio Network.
Jim Hunter in Seattle, where the Mariners even up the series with a 3-1 win. Seattle snapping its five-game losing streak and denying the Orioles a chance to get back to .500. The Orioles came in 59-60, so they're now 59-61 heading into the finale of the series tomorrow. Time to hear from the skipper. Now let's head downstairs. Post-game comments. Gary Thorne is with Buck Showalter.
Buck, big play on that double play. Was that the ball game on the play at the plate on the fly ball? No, it wasn't ball game. Obviously, there's a lot of things going on. Now, we just didn't swing the bat, score one run in nine innings, you know, after last night. You know, you worry about those things when you're facing a guy that, you know, like tonight, and we will again tomorrow, some unknown. But, no, there's a lot more to the game than that. You know, we rehash that in a lot of different plays, you know, whether to throw the ball to the plate or try for the double play. That there's a lot of decisions that go into a game, and that's why and analytics will not show any of them.
Yep. How about Wade Miley's performance?
Okay. You know, it's a tough right-hand lineup, a lot of guys in there, and you look at the body of work, made him, he really had to work, and, you know, I thought the bunt really, you know, which should have been error. How'd they score that?
A fielder's choice sacrifice.
Yeah, that's not right, but we get that every night. But, yeah, it's I'm okay with him. We, you know, had some guys in the bullpen that were rested because of what happened last night, and we were able to keep it close, but we couldn't make a run at them. Their bullpen pitched well.
And you're able to stay that way with the bullpen for tomorrow, especially with the day off coming up, pretty good shape?
Yeah, we're good. Everybody's ready. It's you know, a game we'd like to win. We'd like to win tonight, but you got to turn the page, quick turnaround, and get home. Seems like we've been gone about a month.
Yeah, it does. All right, Skip, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
So postgame comments, Buck Showalter, as the Orioles drop at 3-1 Seattle with the win.